The Word of God is the seed containing the very life of God. It is His agent of transformation. As you receive these words in your heart with faith, that life is released into your spirit, and your life receives a supernatural lifting. Join Apostle Joshua Selman as he brings you God's Word with simplicity and power.
Lift your hands and bless Him. Hallelujah. Father, we give You all the praise. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your ability and Your willingness to change us.
Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to You for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to You for life. Affect my life, breathe on me.
Lift your hands and sing it as a prayer from the depth of your heart.
Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to You for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Hey, affect my life. Affect my life, breathe on me.
Just the voices. Sing it to Him.
Affect my life, breathe on me. We look to You for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look.
One more time, just the voices.
Affect my life, breathe on me. Lord, I look to You for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. As I look to You for life. Take Your place. 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 Take Your place.
Sing it to Him.
Jena na na de na Maria, Jena na na Moso na na Maria da da, Jena na 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 Jose na na Maria. Take Your place, take Your place. Oh oh oh, oh oh oh, oh oh.
Come on, lift your hands and worship His majesty. Just the voices.
Oh, oh, oh. Shena na na mo sana na. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's a chant in the spirit. It's a call for the heavens to revive and transform and heal and bless.
Yeah.
from the time, listen, right from the time we received this song has been a chord for me in the spirit. There's something about receiving specific songs for seasons. There are many songs by the grace of God that we have received in this place, but there's just a strange anointing upon this song. It's like a call and response. It compels something within you to respond to the heavens. I've tried and tried to stop singing this song, but it will not leave. It's a chant in the spirit. It does something to my spirit. It does something to my spirit. Yeah. Help us worship team. One more time, all the instruments, our voices and our hands lifted. Help me worship team. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy. Just the voices. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Tonight and cry for a visitation. Lord, I have come to feast at your table. have come to feast at your table. We have come to draw strength tonight, strength for the journey ahead. Spirit of the living God, we ask you tonight, invade our lives, do something remarkable in our lives tonight, turn our lives around, turn our lives around, turn our lives around, turn our lives around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. Good evening, everyone. Your life will never be the same. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone once again. We have a lot to do tonight, and we're trusting God to be able to go so far. Every moment in His presence. Let me tell you one of the reasons why the presence of God should be greatly desired. In His presence, there is not only liberty. In His presence, there is wisdom. In His presence, there is understanding. It's in His presence He reveals to us the mystery behind the happenings in our lives. And He shows us the system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Apologize for that. Praise the Lord. Tonight's teaching is going to bless us in no small way. I'd like our hearts to really, really be opened. The Lord wants to speak to us by the power of His Spirit. Hallelujah. The Lord put something in my spirit that I'd like us to write down that I think will be very important, and it will set the pace tonight. There are so many people outside. As we always say, you are part of us. And I know that the Lord brought you to bless you, and do not let distance distract you. I see people standing with something to write. I want you to know we really appreciate the sacrifice, and this that you are doing will speak in your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, when God gave man the mandate to dominate, the word dominion means sovereign control. Sovereign control. And every religion, every movement promises one thing: dominion. The fear of man has been his inability to completely control certain situations and circumstances. Please, I want you to listen. The things we cannot control are the things that bring fear to our lives. So people fear poverty, for instance, because of an effect it seems to be able to bring to our lives, and we cannot do anything about it. We fear death. We fear guns because we think they can do something to us. We fear failure because it does something to us. Every time man is unable to control a process, it brings fear, it brings a sense of subjugation. So every movement that has come through history and civilization promises to lead man to a pathway where we'll be able to access dominion. But we know that there is no true dominion and authority outside of Christ. Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, and Elohim said, let us make man in our own image,
He says, let them have sovereign control, dominion. Hallelujah. What is happening to you here every time is the process that will bring you into true dominion. I told us again and again that dominion is not a wish. Dominion is not an impartation. Dominion is a reaction. Something happens to your life that leads to an end called dominion. Hallelujah. Write this down. Something I do not know is responsible for the limitation in my life. Write this down. Something I do not know is responsible for the limitation in my life. Something I do not know is responsible. I said for you to write it this way so that every time you are reading it, you can personalize it and it can create the effect that will birth change. Something I do not know is responsible for the limitation in my life. The second thing I want you to write is this. Something I am aware of but have not believed is also responsible for my limitation. Something I am aware of but have not believed is responsible for my limitation. There is something I am aware of. There is an information, a revelation I am aware of. I'm not ignorant of it. I'm aware of it. But my refusal to believe it has brought limitation to my life. Number three. Something I have believed but have not consistently acted upon is also responsible for my limitation. Something I have believed but have not consistently acted upon. Underline consistently acted upon. Something I have believed but have not consistently acted upon is also responsible for my limitation. These three factors have limited us in no small way. Something we do not know is responsible for the limitations in our lives. Two, something we know, an information we have come across, but we have not chosen to believe, is also responsible for the limitation in our lives. Number three, something we have believed but have not consistently. It may be that you have acted upon it, but you have not consistently acted upon. See, the danger is that any of these three categories will produce the same result. See how frustrating it is. Are we together now? So, we have three people here. One who is completely ignorant and he's not even aware he's ignorant. His miracle starts when he's aware that he's ignorant. Not even when the solution comes. The awareness that you need help is already deliverance in itself. Let me tell you how Satan destroys people. He keeps you in ignorance. Are we together now? And he closes every door that can even make you aware you are ignorant. That's the first person. His end is predictable. Number two is the one who is, he's not ignorant. He's had access to the information that can change him or her. But the person has refused to believe. You see, I found out that it's not what you hear that changes you. It's what you choose to believe and live by. So this person here has all the information, has read all the books, has gone for all the seminars, comes for Koinonia every week, and you will think that he would produce certain kinds of results. Right? The third person, not only is not ignorant, not only has believed, but has refused to consistently act. Now, the terrible thing is, you would think the first two should be better than the first person, but their results will all come out the same. Hallelujah. That's why the interesting thing about God is when you start working with Him, you have to go all the way to see your progress. You can't take two steps with God and expect you will see any remarkable progress. You've got to go all the way, and then you will see that there is progress. Tonight, I want to teach on strategic kingdom influence. Strategic kingdom influence. This teaching will bless you. It will change your life. Strategic kingdom influence. I want to teach us a major tool for kingdom advancement in the 21st century. Strategic kingdom influence. One of the, please look up, especially those of us who are pastors, ministries, fellowships, and groups. I think I was, I don't know if it was the School of Ministry students, we're having a discussion yesterday. And I was telling them, a true shepherd, listen, please. A true shepherd must build people intentionally. There's no lecturer who comes to the lecture hall guessing what he thinks the students should become. Are we together? The students don't even know what they should become many times. A few may know. But the lecturer is only a lecturer because he is privy to an information. He knows what the students should become if they diligently stay under his tutelage. When Jesus came, he knew what he wanted the disciples to become. He wanted them to become apostles, envoys, advocates of his ideology, and he knew exactly what to do. It's a terrible thing when a pastor is confused about the path of spiritual progress of the members, meaning that he doesn't really know what builds the people. He's hoping, and sadly, I say this and I'm challenging especially those of us who are men of God, you don't sit down and just guess what to teach people on Saturday night or Sunday early in the morning. You just think and say, what have I not talked about? Character. People are misbehaving in my church. You now run a hammer on character, and then you find out that people need to learn on miracles, and then you go and teach on miracles. Your growth will not be constructive. Every pastor ought to develop people in five areas. Number one, their spiritual lives. These are just additions that I think I should communicate before we go into our discussion tonight. Number one, our spiritual life. Any pastor, any leader that cannot guide the people God has committed to him to really know God, to come to a point where they can hear the voice of God, to come to a point where they conform to the image of the Christ, to come to a point where the average member is passionate about the things of the kingdom. No matter what else you teach people, if you don't bring them to a point of addiction and love and passion for God, then they are not growing. Hallelujah. Yes. Where they seek his face, where they love him genuinely, not where they use him, where they love him. So that's the first area. And that involves them being born again, not just being healed. They have to be saved. Pastors, make sure the congregation of the people you are leading, among other things and before other things, their salvation is secured. I don't care what else happened in that church. If the people are not saved, they are not growing. Praise the Lord. They must be saved and established in righteousness. Where your members become people of conviction. Let me tell you something. I have seen congregations where the level of revelation that comes from the preacher to them is very low. But I respect those congregations because the little the man of God knows, he has brought his members to a point of conviction. I'm irritated by an assembly that does not have values, spiritual convictions. It's better to be wrong about something, so that even when you change, you know what you left. Not that you are there today, you think divine healing is scriptural. Tomorrow you are not sure. Today you think prosperity is good. And then your man of God comes and him too, he's not sure. There are times you see pastors oscillating. You go for a conference and hear something and you come back, ship it to your congregation and teach them, only for you to grow 2 weeks later and find out that you wouldn't have brought that revelation that way. And then the members are hearing a lot of things, but they are not growing. Hallelujah. Number two, every true shepherd must be able to build people's finances. I'm absolutely convinced that a man of God who does not pay attention to the financial well-being of his congregation is not only a wicked man of God, is not only a wicked man of God, but he's a dangerous man of God. You know why? Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. If you want to get the heart of a congregation focused towards God, there are certain things in their lives that can really become distractions. There is no how you want a man to serve God, lie down, you want him to give you 3 or 4 or 5 hours of his life, whereas he knows that his rent is due. Are we together now? And then it is also wicked, honestly, this is my proposition. I think it is really wicked for a man of God to stand up and then say, oh, how many people are going to give 1 million naira? I was telling the school of ministry students. And then you have people come out and then they are offering. Now, I don't care whether the church is using their offering or not. These people give offerings every week. Even if it's 5 naira, it left them. Is that true? They pay their tithe. And then the minister of the gospel in turn is not empowering them. And so they are broke, they are failures in their offices, they are at the lower levels. They can't do nothing, they don't have options. They've not grown to a point where they can be able to say, look, I want to go to church. Somebody cover for me. No influence. Sometimes we teach what we call a replacement theology, where we can use one dimension of the kingdom to replace the need for another. It doesn't exist. It's error. And a man of God can be so bold in error and mislead people. Many pastors who don't pay attention to the finances of their members are doing well themselves. They are doing well because they are offering spiritual value and the members sow into their lives. The members maybe pay their rent. Some of the pastors collect salary. So I can teach you all kinds of things, and immediately after the service, my dinner is secured. I'm going to go and eat. But will you eat? A good shepherd does not march on his sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. You see, this is why many congregations is a beehive of frustrated people. There are issues people have that will not allow them to grow. Number three, every true shepherd should teach people and guide them along the area of excellence in leadership. How to excel career-wise, how to excel family-wise. Every church, every congregation is a unit of family. You cannot have an irresponsible father, a very wicked mother, come to a church. What do you think that bad father will become as a HOD? He will translate his understanding about fatherhood, and that's what he's going to use to lead the department. Are we together now? Every armed robber came from somewhere. He didn't fall from a tree. Are we together? Every prostitute or harlot came from somewhere. All those who are making a mess of society came from family. And a platform like this, the church, is an institution that influences the mindset of people, gives them very, very scriptural perspectives on leadership. How do you excel in your place of work? It matters to God. How do you excel in your endeavor? It matters to God. How do you excel in your business? How do you do it right? Number what now? Number four. Every pastor must teach his congregation on principles of relationships. Relationships are everything in this kingdom. Your breakthrough comes through relationships. The tragedy in your life comes through relationships. Jesus understood this. He didn't play with relationships. We lose opportunities because we do not know how to master relationships. We lose destiny helpers. Money is not everything, as important as it is. One ability to maximize a quality relationship will give you what 1 billion will not give you. Relationships. Hallelujah. Number five. Every pastor must be able to teach his congregation how to be agents of national transformation. Every pastor must be able to teach his member life applicable teachings. Teachings they can take outside of the confines of the church, back to society, and begin to shape cultures and change systems with it. Listen, let me tell you, the churches that command influence in every territory are the churches whose impact are felt even sociologically. It's not just by buying rice or giving people sewing machine buying pot or killing cow. Those things are important. But it's not just about doing things. It's about institutionalizing a mindset within a territory. So the church becomes noted. Everybody within that territory benefits. There are so many people benefiting from Koinonia. The National Union of Road Transport Workers are benefiting. Rental services benefiting. MTN, Glo, Airtel benefiting. Are we together now? There are many people who may not be Christians but will fight to protect the continuity of Koinonia because they can see how it translates to the well-being of their own lives. So you build people intentionally. You don't just sit down and say, I got up and I think I feel like saying this today. And then people jump. And then at the end of the service, you ask the people, what did you gain? And the person tells you, honestly, me too, I don't know, but my spirit picked something. You are not going to grow that way, I assure you. Did you know that I've taught us here, it's not your intention that becomes your reality, but your conviction. You want to be great, but something about your belief will limit you. You want to be greatly anointed, but there is something you must know. I'm telling you, you will thank me in the years to come for these fruits in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do. I need you more and more. I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do. I need you more and more. More and more. More and more. When you grow spiritually and otherwise, it becomes, there is something, there is a name God gives this kind of people. He calls them a delightsome land. You know what a likable personality. Something about your transition in the spirit creates an effect in this realm. And so you are well desired. Well desired. I was telling the School of Ministry students yesterday that this project you see called Koinonia, the benefit of Koinonia will be experienced in the next 10 to 20 years, not now. Hallelujah. My target is people from ages 0 to 45. Outside 45, you can join. But the target, that generation of individuals is what we want to target. In the next 20 years, many people you see now, 70 years, etc., in business, in politics, no matter how they want to hold on to power, many of them would have transited. It will now be our turn. Hallelujah. So it's a project. Just like Satan destroyed America, when God's generals were there preaching, what was he doing? They forgot about their children, and the devil just targeted them. From 25 years, they were there in the crusade, and the children were, they left the children and the wives at home because they felt those people did not need change. So the men of God were preaching, and the devil said, I give up on these ones. But he started growing with them. Channel O came, MTV came, right? All kinds of things came. They grew. They didn't train them. They grew. They shaped their ideology. They are the ones today who are the leaders, prime ministers, heads of banks, heads of institutions. And so a system runs. I mean, they play the world like a chess, but it's going to change. I know we don't look like it yet. I assure you, you quote me. I've been saying certain things that I'll keep saying. We will all be great. And the best part is that we will know ourselves. That's what will happen. Don't trivialize the power of the Holy Spirit. Just give him time. He will surprise you. Give him time. Write this word down. Let's begin our teaching. Strategic kingdom influence. Let's define influence very quickly. I have a lot to talk about, and I want us to finish very fast. Amen and amen and amen. Influence. What is influence? The capacity to have an effect. Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, and behavior of something or someone. Please make sure you're writing. The capacity to have an effect on the character, development, and behavior of something or someone is called influence. When you sustain an ability to create an effect in somebody's behavior, somebody's character, and his development, we call that influence. Number two, influence is the ability and the platform to change mindsets, comma. Influence is the ability and the platform to change mindsets, comma. Shape opinions and move others to act in a certain way. Change mindsets. So the ability and the platform to be able to change mindsets, shape opinions, and move others to act in a certain way is called influence. How we need this. One of the keys to kingdom advance in the 21st century is not just evangelism, it's called influence. And I add, kingdom influence. We have a mandate as the church. Listen, listen. We are not just here roaming around, wondering what to do with our lives. There is a mandate upon us. That mandate is found in Genesis 1:26. Help us, media. Genesis 1:26, Matthew 6 verse 10, and Mark 16, 15 and 16. Genesis 1:26, Matthew 6 verse 10, Mark 16, 15 and 16. It reveals our mandate as the church. Every one of you under the sound of my voice is part of those to make this mandate come to pass. And God said, Genesis 1:26, let us make man after our image, our likeness, and let them have sovereign control, dominion, sovereign control, the power of legislature. the ability to extend an influence over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing and everything that creeps upon the earth. We are God's managers. The state of the earth today is a revelation of our failure, our inability to manage this domain of God's kingdom. We have a mandate as a church. Matthew 6 verse 10. Everyone read. Jesus was teaching this in what we have believed to be the Lord's Prayer. One, two, read. Thy kingdom come. How? By your will being done in earth exactly as it is in heaven. Listen, heaven is the way it is for two reasons. One, the presence of God. Two, a culture. A culture. A culture. There is a culture that makes heaven heaven. And God is saying, when we pray, this is God's desire that his kingdom, his sovereign rule, will find expression in this our sphere in the exact way. In other words, reproduce the culture of heaven in your environment. It's a mandate. And then he further expounds on how to do it. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, 15 to 16. Are you there, media? Please help us. You're giving us Mark 10. You have to correct it, please. Mark 16, 15. Okay. And he said unto them, read on, please. One to read. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hold on. The first assignment is go. That means he expects a body that is moving. Action. Go. Then it tells you the strategy. It says, it didn't say go around the street. It says go ye into. Enter a system called cosmos. Don't just go around. Thank God for sharing tracks and all of that. But he gives you an idea. His system of invasion. I want you to enter a strata of human activities. And when you are established in that strata, he said, preach the gospel not to every human being. Not to every human being. To every creature. Creature. Everything alive should feel the impact of the gospel. Communicate that influence and that ideology. Write this down. Our mandate as a church, not Koinonia, I mean the global church, the ecclesia. Our mandate as the church is to establish the lordship of Christ. I will keep drumming this till we get it again and again. Establish the lordship of Christ in the hearts of men. That's the first dimension. To establish the lordship of Christ in the hearts of men. And the instrument we use to produce this is called the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is not just a message. The gospel is an instrument. The end of it is to establish the lordship of Christ in the hearts of men. Number two, to extend, this is my concern tonight, to extend the culture and authority of heaven across every territory and strata of human activity. I'll take it again. To extend the culture and authority of heaven. To extend the culture and the authority of heaven across every territory and strata or sphere of human activity. Listen, if all we do is establish the lordship of Christ in the hearts of men, that's important, but we must go the extra mile to make sure that every strata of human activity also come under the influence of the Christ. Look up, please. Let me tell you where our lukewarm attitude came from. Our lukewarm attitude came from preachers who, in an attempt to make us have the perspective of eternity in view, have trivialized the necessity of the church today. Are we together now? So in a bid to teach us and prepare us for rapture, teach us about the second coming of Christ, etc., etc., right? We push it to the limit. And then we give people an idea like every other thing is a waste. Every other thing. Don't worry about building no house. Don't build any business. Don't do anything. It's unnecessary. Just make sure you love God and remain rapturable. And we say that to justify. And then we find out that after 20 years, Jesus has not come. But your child has come. But your bills have come. These are the ones that are coming. Jesus that you are preparing for is coming. That's true. But he has not come. But your bills have arrived. Right? The need for your responsibility has arrived. We have to be careful the way we teach people things. Many of us are well-meaning people, but we are victims of an ideology that must be balanced. I'm always obsessed with balance. Of course, we have the other side of the equation. People who are so careless about the things of God. They are just carnal. All they want is cars, houses, oh, this and that and that. They are so carnal. Those kinds of people will go to hell when Jesus comes, because they are obviously not living with eternity in view. But there is a balance. Everyone say there is a balance. There is a balance. So we have an assignment to extend the culture. When Promise was, you know, talking to us, I'm sure some of you were shocked looking at him. You cannot imagine that a gentleman like this was keeping dreadlocks and wearing earrings all around when he came to Zaria. You think he just wanted to wear it? He was reacting to something within him. Somebody told him that appearance or that state was equal to manhood and masculinity. And so he was a victim of his mindset. What happened to him? Not just deliverance, but what happened to him was a translation. Another idea, an alternative structure came upon his life. See, you don't change people by just flogging them, insulting them, castigating them, or telling them, do this. When you tell somebody, do this, the person will not do it. He's reacting to something within him. If you don't change, that's why they bring people out of prison and they say, make sure you don't steal again. And you see the person standing, they say, sign here, and he's signing. 1 month later, they say, ah, they say, honestly, this time around, this and that and that. Because they don't create programs that influence the minds of the people. You cast away that spirit and change their paradigm, and then you win them. Amen. Let me discuss our mandate and the 21st century. I really want this to be relevant to us. The mandate of the church. I think one of the confusion in the church right now is how to be able to weave kingdom living and the reality of our changing society. Whether you believe it or not, times are changing. Say, times are changing. The only constant thing in life is change. The 21st century has brought in a lot of changes. A lot of changes. Changes in the way, even some of us who are young, met certain things that we can even relate to and say, ah, things have changed. We're not so old like that, but at least we can look back and be able to say, yesterday there was XYZ. Today is now obsolete. Not to talk of our parents and our fathers and mothers here. They can tell you a lot of things we have no idea. Some of our little ones here don't know what a typewriter looks like. Some of them, when they grow, I'm sure they'll not even know what a stove looks like. I'm sure by the time they are adults, we'll be using e-cookers. Oh, don't limit the mind of man. Believe me. Who knew that somebody will create something as much as, I mean, hundreds of tons and then lift it up in the air, just like that? Even you can't hang in the air, yet plane that is heavier than you can rise up in the air. So don't trivialize the power of the mind. Cultures have changed. The interests of people have changed. Perspectives have changed. Technology has changed a lot of things. Technology has changed our appetites. The world right now is only hours away from anywhere. Anywhere, hours away. I'm sure that in the next future, or in the next maybe 5-10 years, I'm sure you may not have to dial numbers to call them again. They will program them to work with your mind. I just think of NASA and his phone beeps. It can happen. I mean, there's artificial intelligence in phones. Phones can feel, phones can record, they can have memories. So the 21st century is here. And what is the attitude as far as our mandate is concerned? Because the old ways of doing things, even as far as kingdom advancement, will no longer be effective. I think it was School of Ministry again, I was telling them, did you know that right now you can stand near an influential man's daughter attempting to preach to her? They can just snap you, and in 5 minutes the police are coming to catch you and they'll say you are harassing her. Are we together now? You are harassing her. So the world is gradually strangling the opportunities, the access points we have to reach people. And we must be able to reinvent ourselves by the Spirit of God, to adjust to the change and yet be effective in communicating our mandate. Is God blessing us? One of the tragic things about the metamorphosis of the church with respect to the current change is that most of the change that is being effected in the church is not effected with the authority and the supervision of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what happens when you try to adjust to the 21st century outside of the Holy Spirit. You will become something else. Completely something else. There are pastors under pressure to turn their churches to align to the 21st century. Please listen to me. There are businessmen, there are entrepreneurs, there are all kinds of people, families, the paradigm of fatherhood, parenting, leadership is being compelled to change, to adjust to 21st century living. But you see, a believer is not just one who is born again. A believer is one who has submitted to the governing authority of the kingdom. And that your change must be with the Holy Spirit's supervision, so that he can tell you which attributes are timeless that will not change and which ones are flexible enough. Not everything in the Christian life is permitted to change. There are timeless things. There are components of the believer's life that must remain constant. And I'll tell you where we get this teaching from. 1 Corinthians 9:22, please. I need to balance this teaching. Is God blessing us already? 1 Corinthians 9:22. This is the Bible stand that many contemporary preachers sadly have picked in, and we have brought it to seemingly be a strategy. Now, I believe in metamorphosis. I'm teaching you change now. But that change must be guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Everyone read. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. One, to read. To the weak became as I as weak, that I may gain the weak. Are we together? Read on. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, Paul is saying something interesting here. Let me translate this for you. Paul is saying, I can become anything to anybody. This is a nice verse for Satan to take advantage of. Meaning, become a smoker to smokers. Are we together? Become a prostitute to prostitutes to win them. That's not what the Bible is saying. But that's what has happened in many churches. In our obsession to metamorphose and become relevant in the 21st century, we have been misguided by this scripture. And many things that happen. There are churches where members vote the sermon for the week that the pastor preaches. Are we together? There are churches where all kinds of things happen. Now, I don't insult these people. At least they are serving God. But that's dangerous. We are removing certain ancient landmarks. So as I attempt to teach us on, that's why I call this strategic kingdom influence. Not just kingdom influence. It must be strategic. Meaning the Holy Spirit is involved. Hallelujah. The idea, listen, The idea of Paul here is that I am able to make adjustment. The idea here is not an idea about leaving your convictions. It's an idea of making adjustments. The summary of this entire communication is that Paul is saying, because of the reality of my society, I am able to make adjustments. Listen, any church, any pastor that cannot adjust should be ready for empty pews. I repeat, any pastor, any businessman, any CEO, any worker that cannot adjust. Notice, I didn't say leave your convictions. Adjust means to create allowance for the excesses of people. Adjust means to create allowance for the limitations of people. Adjust means to create allowance for the perspectives of people. When you become rigid and stringent, forget about advancing the kingdom in today's world. One of our fathers who has done that most remarkably, that is a model for all of us, is Papa E.A. Adeboye. I've studied the Redeemed Christian Church very carefully, and what had been the secret of their exponential growth and influence. I will tell you, the key is this flexibility, not compromise. There is a difference between compromise and flexibility. Papa E.A. Adeboye is a man of strong convictions. He's very conservative in his approach to Christianity alongside his wife. But he realized that if I must achieve the mandate of seeing every redeemed church, or at least in every two or three houses, let there be one redeemed member, I must be flexible enough and yet uncompromising. The key is to maintain your convictions, but give allowance for the conviction of others. Let them be able to find a place in your vision. And so you see that it began to open up different models of redeemed branches. And so you can see a redeemed branch that is generally conservative, still adhering to the foundational tenets. And you can see one that is quite modern. In fact, very modern. You may not know that this is redeemed. His job as a man of God is to ensure that the central leadership sustains the foundational model and the understanding of redeemed. This is a winning strategy. So you can find redeemed in France. You can find redeemed in certain places that you would not expect. Many pastors are unwilling to bend. We are stringent on our ideologies and we do not want to create flexibility. So the key is that we must be able to make adjustments. Everybody say adjustment. Adjustment is one key to strategic kingdom advancement. You cannot say, I cover my hair, I don't believe in wearing trousers, for instance, or leaving hair. And you say, any other person I come across who I see with trousers or hair not covered is a devil, I tear the person down, you are going to be frustrated. At the same time, nobody should put pressure on you to influence your convictions unnecessarily. You have a right to sustain your convictions, but at the same time, you must be able to give room. Are we together now? I'm teaching us on our mandate and the 21st century. I've gone to minister in several places, and when you go to minister in places, you'll be amazed at the approach of many people. I've gone to ministries that are very conservative, very, very conservative. I've gone to other ministries that are generally charismatic and unorthodox. I've gone to ministries that are wild. I've gone to ministries that are lawless. That one is not charismatism, it's lawlessness. Yet in the midst of it, I have been able to make adjustment without violating my convictions. Are we together? Koinonia runs on certain convictions. But part of the reason why God has blessed us is because we have been able to make adjustments. Are we together now? Adjustments that can allow people to come in and be able to not necessarily incorporate their ideologies, but give them space to know God for themselves. And in that knowing God, many people begin to adjust, not by force, but on the strength of the information that is coming to them. Is God blessing us? Yeah. You cannot win people you resent. You cannot stand and all of a sudden you see a lady with heavy makeup wearing a very tight trouser and all of that, and you know, you just give this atmosphere of, look at this prostitute and this devil, you want to kill me. And your idea was to come and win her, and then you come and stand and, oh, you are a sinner. You see, I will not listen to your message. No. It has nothing to do with being angry. I will not listen to your message. You come to preach to me for 10 minutes. You don't even know what my name is. You are initiating me into a cult. You are misrepresenting the love of Christ. At the same time, I will not come and see you and you say, you really want to preach Christ to me. If prove that you love by coming to my house or coming to this. I'm in the club. If you really want to win me, come and meet me at the club. I won't come. Go to hell. Are we together? There is a balance. So that we don't begin to do stupid things. There are ladies that have entered relationship. You ask them why. They say, I'm on a cruise. You are not SSS. That's too costly. You say, I entered relationship. It's not love. Why? I don't love him. Ask him. I am passionate about souls. You are getting it wrong. I'm trying to explain this scripture. I become all things to all men does not mean I leave my convictions to turn into everything. No. Whether you are wearing jeans or suit, you are a Christian. And being a Christian is exact. There's no confusion about it. Christianity is not Buddhism. There are exact tenets. There are exact foundational convictions. Write this down. We must carefully study the word. Please, let's write. Let's hurry up. We must carefully study the word and adopt timeless scriptural strategies for effective kingdom advance. We must carefully study the word and adopt timeless scriptural strategies for effective kingdom advance. Listen, the key to kingdom advancement is found in the Bible. Timeless secrets that can advance the kingdom through any culture, any kind of civilization. And when we study the Bible, we will find therein secrets that can survive any kind of sociological metamorphosis. It doesn't matter what dispensation, the truths there remain timeless. Keys to kingdom influence. Let's discuss now. Keys to kingdom influence.
Ask and I'll give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us.
Sing it one more time.
Ask and I'll give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us.
Keys to kingdom influence. Listen, I've told us that the key to strategic kingdom advancement is called influence. The new kind of evangelism that will break through any protocol and any hardness is called influence evangelism. The advocacy that comes when a man can gain a platform and is able to influence the convictions of people. Never trivialize influence and its effect to a person, a territory, a people, and a civilization. At every point in your life, you are being influenced by somebody, and you are influencing somebody. Keys are very important in the kingdom. You hear Jesus speak again about keys, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are the mysteries, the laws, and the principles that give us access. The keys of the kingdom are the mysteries, the laws, the principles that give us access. There are keys to kingdom influence. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm praying that as I begin to teach this, as you embrace it, you will step into a level of influence that will surprise you. The Lord spoke to us and said, this is our year of multiplied grace and influence. He expects us to do more, and He's guiding us on how to get there. Number one, the first key to strategic kingdom influence is to have a pace-setting, trailblazing, global mentality. Write it the way I said it. Don't write your idea. Pace-setting, comma. I took time to write it this way. It's supposed to create an effect. Don't scatter it. Pace-setting, comma. Trailblazing, comma. Global mentality. Write it and look at me. Let's cane out certain mediocrities in our mind.
We're on our way to better days. We're on our way to better days. We're on our way to better days.
Hold on. Pace setting, trailblazing, global mentality. See, many of us are still growing, and we're still coming into the comprehension of how low and depraved our thinking and our ideology is, as marketed to us by our institutions, as marketed to us by our upbringing, as marketed to us by our Christian advocates, our pastors. We are largely victims of the thinking of a man we have sat under for many years. Our approach, the approach of the average Christian is not global. The approach of the average Christian is not pace setting. We are comfortable with mediocrity, yet we want to command influence. A music artist, no global mentality, no pace setting mentality. So we are comfortable borrowing anything from anywhere, not yielding to the spirit of creativity that will launch us into unimaginable feats. There are many of us seated here who can do so much for God, but our mindsets are small. I have challenged the leaders again and again. Koinonia is an apostolic ministry. This is only a local platform for us to meet together, but the approach is global. The approach is way beyond Nigeria and Africa. You see, we must be able to excel. Let's look at a few scriptures. Matthew 5:14. Then Deuteronomy 6:2-3. Media, you have to help us. We really have to be fast. Jesus said this, Matthew 5:14. Write it down and please look up. 1, 2, read. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The second statement explains the first line. It says you are the light of the world. Then it compares you. It says you are a city. In other words, can a city that is set on a hill be hidden? global approach to life. We start up businesses with no idea of global approach. The average business in Nigeria, if it lasts 10 years, is a miracle. 15 years is a wonder. We don't think far. Right? The average church, do you know how many churches start in January and by December they are dead? Because the way the pastor started and was running, you would think rapture will happen tomorrow. And he runs, no sense of leadership, no pace setter, trailblazer mentality. We come into a system and do the exact same thing. Listen, listen. There is a difference between a manager and a leader. A manager maintains status quo. A leader breaks new frontiers. A true apostolic spirit is a groundbreaking spirit. You cannot be under a ministry like this and then your thinking is still old. Daniel 6, verse 2 to 3. Pace setting mentality. Hallelujah. This was the story of Daniel. Look up, please. Let's see the kind of mindset Daniel had. It's not just that he was called Daniel, he reigned over certain provinces. The Bible says, and over these three presidents, sorry, I'm cutting from verse 1. Of whom Daniel was what? Please read it. Of whom Daniel was, first means a pace setter, first means a leader. Surpassing ordinary standards. He said that the princes might give accounts to them and the kings should have no damage. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was what? Everybody say pace setters. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Because an excellent spirit. Was it because he was a Christian? Because he possessed certain things that made him irresistible. And the king thought to set him over what? Influence, as a result of a pace-setting mentality. How many Christians start their work and never dream of becoming the managers or the people at the highest echelons? They don't care. In fact, they run away. When they tell them they are considering you for promotion, they say, ah, but for what now? How about God? Is it that you don't know what? It's a demonic mentality. Whoever taught you that, it may be a sincere person, but that's a doctrine of demons that keeps the church bad. I love Jesus. When Jesus showed up, he broke status quo. Genesis 41. Give us 33. Then we move to 38 to 44. Please, very fast. Sorry, we have to read these things because I want to press something in tonight. Genesis 41, give us verse 33. Then we'll move to 38 down to 44. Now look up, please, everyone. This was the story of Joseph. Now, therefore, this is Joseph advising Pharaoh. Now, therefore, look out for a man discreet and wise. Whoever qualifies, whoever has that mentality, give him this kind of influence. Set him over the land of Egypt. There is influence for the taking, but there is a requirement. Who is that one man in Egypt who has sustained a paradigm of thinking that can produce this result? Give us verse 38. Hear what the king says in response. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find, may that be your testimony. That even your enemies will sit together and say, let's tell ourselves the truth. Can we find a trailblazer? That when the government wants to sow a seed as a government to a church, they turn and say, which church is making impact that is consistent with the values of the government? Can we find such a one as this is? A man of whom the Spirit of God is. We're reading down to 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, listen, for as much as God has showed thee this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Watch how cheap influence becomes. Thou shalt do what? I give you influence instantly. Thou shalt be over my house. I hope you know Pharaoh knew that Joseph was not an Egyptian. There are certain levels of mentality you have that will veto your background. All this issue of we don't accept people from this state, they've not found an exceptional person. That's why. That's when you see them breaking the rule. They will say, this is the first time we're doing it. Say, I'm a first timer. I have the spirit of breaking new grounds. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to my word shall all thy word shall all the people be ruled. Can you imagine? That's a risk from Pharaoh. He says, only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over how many? All the land of Egypt. Do you think that's good for the kingdom? Do you think Joseph's father and brothers would have been allowed to come to Egypt if he didn't have influence? Are we together now? Can you see the advantages of his influence? His influence afforded him to say, where's my father? The same way when you have influence, you can look at somebody and say, you said you are looking for a job, please come. I know you. Your being in Koinonia has qualified you. Even if you don't know anything, I know you love God and you can listen. We have preached people. We have destroyed opportunities for the church to rise because of mentalities that we think are good. The church is almost an endangered species compared to the world's global brand in terms of advancement. We are there smiling, throwing ourselves under the anointing, and then the world is squeezing the church into a mold. And one policy can just write us away. And Pharaoh took off his ring, a symbol of royalty, from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. The last verse. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land. Shout influence. Influence. Say it again. Influence. In our families, there's nobody to speak for us. When we are suffering, we just call on God directly. And God wants to answer, but there is no envoy, no human being that can partner with God to wipe our tears. Do you know it's a curse to have generations of people with no influential person in that family? You hear people here say, I'm the first person to go to school. I'm the first person to get a job. You know the danger? Every other person surrounds you like worms, drawing from you. You are earning 100,000 and there are 22 people waiting and hoping to receive their share of cake from you. Leadership is the passion to excel. When I talk of leadership, I don't just mean ruling. Leadership in terms of excelling. The passion to excel at an uncommon level. I'm explaining to you what pace-setting, trailblazing global mentality is. In one word, is leadership. The passion to excel at an uncommon level so as to gain access over that sphere. Listen, the reason why you excel is so that you can rise to the highest level and then be able to gain access. We need men and women who have access. And I tell you, Koinonia, hear me. This is what you are becoming. Are we together now? Oh, this is what you are becoming. Just give us time. In the next few years, you know the way, if somebody is walking and he says,
My name is Nas Dangote. Even if he's not related to Dangote, that name has already brought favor to his life. I trust God that Koinonia in the future will be, it will be like a signet ring of favor. I will never pastor and lead people who are failures. We just comfort ourselves and no. A passion to excel. You are in agriculture, you are thinking, how do I lead? Not Kai, how do I get my small one mudu of beans? Me and my wife, she's not even complaining. You are not pace setting, you are not trailblazing. Remember that if all you want to do is succeed, you are carnal. But if you want to succeed to gain influence and allow God come into that space, you are an ambassador. Always attach a kingdom motivation to your pursuit. And then there is no level of pursuit that will embarrass you. I will never be small. I hate it, and it is for the kingdom. Number two. The second key to kingdom influence is character. You want to command kingdom influence. In our generation today, you need character. Everybody say character. What is character? Christ-likeness, moral uprightness. Second Peter chapter 1. From verse 5 to 9, talks to us about sustaining kingdom character. Just write it down. We may not have time to look at it. Listen, brothers and sisters, please look at me. If you want to be global, those outside, please pay attention. If you want to go far in business, in ministry, in your career, you have to curb a lot of excesses in your life. The Bible says, listen to me, the Bible says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are permissible, but not all things are necessary. On your journey to influence, there are weights. Some things are not necessarily sinful. They are just weights. Weights. Character, moral uprightness. From the way you speak, the way you dress, the way you behave. You want to be a leader, you are in a place, they are sharing food. Ah, I've not got you. You are just stretching. You are not a leader. God cannot promote you to disgrace him like that. There is a decorum. There is a protocol for great people. I'm not just talking about pretending and living a fake and a false life, but you must be disciplined. You are dressing, you iron your clothes, you talk well, you see people, you greet them. You don't see somebody like our daddy here and say, ah, daddy, how are you, prof? You know, as if you are talking to yourself. No. Character. There are many people who do not have character. Moral uprightness. You see an elderly woman moving, your mother, something, you cannot help her pick up the load. No character. There's this wild nature that our generation of young people have that we must tame and cut away. We associate youthfulness to wildness. That means if you are temperate, people think you are too cold. Be wild. You won't be a leader that way. Look at how teachers, the teachers in our school, who teach our students. You see how they dress? You see how they talk? Now, I'm not against anything, but a young man comes, rings in his five hands. I'm not against all of those things, but you are not, it's not sin, but it's a weight. The students are watching you. The next day, they come with it too. You sag your jeans. A teacher, you see jeans with, what they call it? All kinds of... There's this patch jeans that you see that exposes everywhere. I mean, there's nothing for the imagination. Believe me, if nobody has told you anything is wrong with it, Joshua Selman is saying it. Write it, mark me. Something is wrong with that kind of thing. You won't go far with it. I'll preach. Oh. Hallelujah. See, there is a protocol to greatness. You must give up something to go up. You cannot go up with everything you were with down. You are down because a weight held you. If you are ready to move up, be ready to drop some things. Vulgar communications. Don't speak intelligently. Many of us today cannot construct a good letter, a proposal, because our vulgar speaking and communication has destroyed us. You are writing something to apply for a job. You are writing you as you, four as letter four. You see that? I need a job from you. Thanks. And the manager looks at it and says, look at all this nuisance to our company. We have labored to build ourselves and these people are coming to destroy us. See, our generation interprets modesty as weakness. When your life is temperate, you feel guilty for it. Because we live in a generation where you must be loud and wild to be thought of. Those people will not last long. History is full of many of them. Prison cells are full of many of them. They created their own rules to life. Everybody say, I'll be a man of character. Say it, I'll be a man of character or a woman of character. Yes. Every bad wife was a bad human being. Every irresponsible father was an irresponsible human being. Every bad leader was a bad human being. You bring in your personality. You bring in your mindset. It doesn't just change when you become CEO. It's an attitude. Hallelujah. Moral uprightness. You are calm. Not the person moving around, gossiping about everybody, saying everything about everybody. No. Only cheap people do that. Only idle people do that. Hallelujah. There are rules for greatness. You ignore them, you will never be great. The level that God has brought us in ministry by the grace of God. You see all these people inside and outside. I honor God and I bless them. But never make a mistake. They didn't just come just because of the anointing. There are factors combined together. This is what I'm teaching you. See, let me tell you. People never become loyal to you until they probe your life and they are satisfied that you are worth being loyal to. Loyalty is not a gift. You earn it. Are we together? There are so many people who see, especially some of us young people, and they think the loyalty is just because of solidarity. No. Loyalty is a product of a track record. People probe your life and come to a point where they are satisfied with your convictions. And they are comfortable that you are a leader worth submitting to. You don't command influence just because you think you are spiritual. Character. There are many pastors who don't have character. You just get up and go and disturb somebody's house early in the morning. Peace be unto this house. And pastor, so, bang, 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 bang. Madam, is there tea? You think it's a nice thing. They are mocking you. You represent boredom to them. No character. Are you anointed? Yes. Will you last like that? No. That's how we inconvenience a lot of people. You now meet somebody and prophesy to the person and say, transfer 7,000 or 10,000 to my account. God keeps quiet and you think he was right. He was very wrong. It's just his mercy that overlooked it. There are pastors who do that. The moment they say, I want to pray for you, what they say is, I want money from you. Moment they pray for you, they just say, transfer 2,000 to my account so that it can activate the faith. There is a place for seed faith, but many of the things we do, that's why a young man right now is associated with, the moment parents see certain people, even some of us young ministers, you go to pray in somebody's house and they are already suspecting, they are looking at you. You have to talk for 5 minutes for them to loosen up and say, oh, this guy looks very cultured. character. You get to somebody's house, in 5 minutes you have entered their kitchen. They are frying plantain, you carry one, you eat, you go out. They are watching you. There are some of us like this. I must talk to you. I want you to become something, and we must curb these things. Don't do that. Say, no, 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 we are free. They always allow me. No, see, let me tell you. Part of character is the ability to say no to some things that are even good. You must see, there are certain things that is like Esau. You are trading your birthright for it. There are times people have carried fat seeds and checks, something to give me, and the Holy Spirit will say no, 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 because in their minds they are feeling guilty. They are not just blessing me out of conviction, they just feel, oh, this man of God has prayed. And you see them, I'm ready to go, and you see them pinching themselves, giving signs, and somebody will enter and they come out, and then I tell them, I say, no, 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 I receive it, I bless it, and I sow it back. And they say, ah, man of God, can we have your number, please? Honestly, you see that? You have earned loyalty because you have let them know that you, your convictions are greater than money. For some of us, Abba, you collect and count it and say, Abba, madam, you too. Abba, what is all this? How much is my transport from where I left? I did night vigil, deliverance, the money. You are dropping 10,000, you drop it on the table there and say, madam, add something. Are you fake? No, but you are a suspect. It's easy for people to think you went to collect power. Some of us, the way we dress, now please, don't feel bad. I'm just trying to work on you. I've seen men of God. I wish I don't have to preach this, but I have to obey God. From your hairstyle, the way you look like a thief. You look like, the way you are dressing, and even when you are talking, people are afraid. They are not at ease. Honestly, you may be the nicest person available, but something about your lack of character and environment. You tell a lady, I want to see you, she's shaking because she doesn't even know what can happen. No, come on. I want you to be on a project that you must be trusted. Be on a project. Be trustworthy. Not perfection, but you are sincere enough to be trustworthy. When people commit their loyalty to you, it's a trust. You don't disappoint it. How many pastors have dashed down the loyalty of people? Loyalty is a trust, brothers and sisters. So God is talking to some of us now who are careless with little things. You just sit down and send a text to 4 or 5 sisters. You, make jollof rice for me. You, my birthday is coming by June. I want a suit. Sam, you, buy this and that. There are men of God that do that. I'm sorry. If you are in that category, forgive me. But it's wrong. I cannot imagine myself coming now to tell heads of department, all of you bring 100,000. My birthday is coming in June. Choir, you bring, buy me shoe. All the pastors, Pastor Femi and Alpha, and you who have congregation, so you people, God didn't send you to be a burden to the people. Sometimes we do this thing sincerely, but I'm telling you now, there is need for adjustment. Don't do that. See, bless the people and let them bless you based on their perception of who they think you are. They will surprise you. They will surprise you. There is nobody who will have a track record of transformation from your life who will not give back to you. Amen. Let's go to the next point. Some of you don't seem to like this point. The third key to strategic kingdom influence is excellence. Excellence. What is excellence? The quality of doing things well. The quality of doing things well. Write this down. The difference most times is not what you do, but how you do it. The difference, brothers and sisters, that makes you a great man of influence most times is not what you do, is how you do it. While I was barbing this evening, I was talking to my barber and I was just telling him that, do you know that there are barbing saloons in Abuja that you will pay thousands of naira and the people are not as good as him, but you will pay because of how they do it. The clipper for barbing is different. For carving is different. There is really nothing there. It's just packaging. But because of that packaging, you will pay for it. He was telling me that, I think it was Oga Jordan, he should be here. He went to Abuja also, and then he went to barb somewhere with his brother. And they paid 3,000. They gave them wine and chinchin. Is that what you cannot buy? How much is chinchin? 10 naira. How much is this coke? This pure heaven wine, 250. Add it together. You paid 3,000 and then you watch match. But listen, it's excellent. So you will be rewarded. When you are excellent, you name your price. You see that? What you are doing now, are you excellent in it? Please let me talk to us. I salute, I know many people in Koinonia are engaged actively in all kinds of things. But I want to challenge you, are you excellent? Oh, you make kunu. You think it's small, but are you excellent? Why don't you think of a way of doing it very well? Don't say kunu is not nice. If you make it well, I will buy it. I think someone in the protocol, he has some popcorn machines on campus. And then I told him, I said, I want to taste your popcorn. Let me see what do you put there. And he was telling me what he said. All that one is stories. Bring it. Let me taste. Let me know whether you are excellent. See, let me tell you something. The minimum standard in our world today is excellence. Even if you don't have the finance to grow into it, have the mindset first. So you have only one cloth. And that one cloth will make it look as if you are not excellent. You are, because already you've had an ideology of excellence. You iron it. You look smart. It's not doing ministry that makes you excel. It's how you do it. It's not preaching that makes you excel. It's how you preach. It's not doing business that makes customers come to you. It's how you do it. It's not doing your job that makes you excel, but how you do it. Exceptional people most times are not necessarily super skilled people. They are just people who have been able to force their value to be recognized. Excellence. Say, I'll be excellent. Say it again, I'll be excellent. Number four. Give me a few minutes here and we'll pray. Open your spirit and your ears right now to what you're about to hear. The fourth key in our day, in the 21st century, to strategic kingdom advancement is called results.
We're on our way to better days. We're on our way to better days. We're on our way to better days.
Uncommon results is one of the greatest keys to strategic kingdom influence. John 15 verse 8. Listen, I will share with you certain things about results today that will make you go back to your life and you will insist that I must produce results. John 15 verse 8. 15, not 5. 15 verse 8. Okay. Herein is my Father glorified. Read on. That ye bear fruit, much fruit, exceptional fruit, notable results. It says, so, by so doing, you will prove that you have been following me diligently. Listen, brothers and sisters, our world today thrives on results. pace setters, influencers are those who command results. Remember my teaching, commanding results. I want you to pay attention right now. Write this down. Uncommon supernatural result is the end of all argument. Uncommon supernatural result is the end of all argument. Creation is not waiting for the explanation of the sons of God, waiting for their manifestation. I tell you, I feel the anointing of the Spirit as I'm talking about this. Something will happen, something must happen to you tonight. Uncommon result is the end of all arguments. Write this down. Results demonstrate dominion and control over obstacles, limitations, and circumstances. Results demonstrate dominion and control over obstacles, limitations, and circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a believer in the word of God. Results. Listen, look at me. When you produce results in your life, it shows certain things, that you have authority. You have got the keys that commands authority. I told you that the fear of man is the inability to control situations and circumstances. There are a number of people that were brought here that are sick this night. That's a situation. That's a circumstance. You hear them say circumstances beyond our control. And whoever can bring it under control must command influence. Mark Zuckerberg wields tremendous influence because he was able to bring a particular dimension of science under control. Uncommon supernatural results are a sign that you truly have authority over circumstances. Part of the reasons why there are so many people inside and outside is because by the grace of God, and with all humility, to an extent, God has been able to grace us to show that we have sustained certain keys to command consistent control and dominion over certain aspects of life. I was in Kaduna when we ministered, and we were in the restaurant together with my people. We were just trying to eat, have a meal before we rush and come back to Zaria. And while we were there, just trying to order a meal, a woman looks at me. And the woman was looking at me, and now I started feeling embarrassed. I said, "Madam, do I know you?" She said, "You are Pastor Joshua." I said, "Yes." She said, "Ah, well done, sir." And I looked, I said, "Ah, madam, how are we?" You know, I was playing with her little boy. And I said, "Where do I know you?" And the woman just nodded. She said she was going to tell me a little story. And she said, "I came for counseling 2 years ago, looking as wretched as anything. A single mom with a child, no hope for marriage, finances crashing, everything being destroyed. And you prayed for me and you prophesied. You told me that they were going to call me back to the job and they would send me to the marketing department and I should go there." Say, "Man of God, that's exactly what happened. They sent me to the marketing department and I was sad." And she did her hand like this. I saw a ring. She said, "2 months ago, I got married, even with the child." She pointed outside and I saw a clean black E-Class. She said, "Will you believe that I will be the owner of this?" Brothers and sisters, say results. One result will end every kind of argument. Every kind. Is God speaking to us? Results. Pastors, produce results. Produce results. You know why our prayer department, by the grace of God, is like second Koinonia. It's like midweek service of Koinonia for many people, because of results. They are praying and they are seeing results. Nobody will come and spend 2-3 hours here just like that. People are not idiots. Results. By the time your life, listen, I don't care how much you pray or fast, if there is no result, you will be frustrated. The end of your walk with God is that God, you come to a point where you become so full of the anointing of the Spirit, you can produce uncommon results. Fill me up until I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up until I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Sing one time. Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Please fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. You must have a passion. I'd like you to look at every area of your life and be tired of being barren of results. You are a pastor, no results, no healings, no miracles, no salvation, no transformation. And you explain away and say, it's because I'm telling the truth. People are not coming. All those things are flimsy excuses. Results. When a family that is barren comes and there is a miracle, that's results. There are some results you cannot argue with. No. No. You're a businessman. Don't worry that people don't believe in you. My brother, produce results and you will close the mouth of any and everybody. Even if all you are doing is packing sock away, just produce results. Let me tell you something. It's frustrating to make noise about things you don't have results to show. Because your results are supposed to be your noise in the school of greatness. Not your words. I can do this. I am this and that. No! I can pray. Where is the fruit of the prayer? I can fast. Where is the fruit of the fasting? I am warded. Where is it? Results. You want to command influence in our world today? You need results. You need results. This is the apex of this teaching tonight. You need results. Supernatural results. Write the following things about results. Results are a product of correct understanding and application of laws and principles. Results are a product of correct understanding and application of laws and principles. Let me show you a scripture that would probably really, really surprise you. Kabalakura Subariatara. Give us Matthew 14, please. Let's look at it. Matthew 14. Shabaratu Zedebalakariana. Ombrida Subrehashina Malia Karatus Kobrea. Matthew 14. We'll read from verse 23 and we'll read down to the end. Let's hurry up. And when he had sent the multitudes away, everybody watch this. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Rush, media, just continue. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. There was a situation those in the ship could not control. Next verse. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, doing what? Brothers and sisters, the same water was responding differently to Jesus. The same water. You know why? Because Jesus was operating on certain principles. Are we together now? Next verse. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. Notable results. And they cried out for fear. There is a kind of result that will not only make people celebrate you, they will be afraid. That one will move beyond the realm. I watch some of you as you are sitting down and the power of God begins to break out. I see everybody looking around and you are just trying to adjust, trying to show like I'm okay, I'm not afraid. There are certain results that can happen in your life. It will make the heart of men fear. But straightway Jesus spake to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I. He said, be not afraid. Verse 28. And Peter said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the water, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. 30. This is my verse of emphasis. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Look at this. Two people are standing on water. One is sinking. The other one is standing. Was it the water? Never the water. Same Nigeria. Same economy. Same dollar rise. Same everything. Are we together now? Same harshness in ministry. Same being in the north where they say people are persecuted. But then you sustain a mystery. Jesus was standing. And when Peter cried, he lifted Peter and Peter stood just like him. Meaning you can bring people to your experience. Listen. There was something Jesus knew that made that water treat him that way. There is something you do not know that is making your life turn around. Someone is walking through it like this. Life is responding to people in different ways on the strength of the laws they have kept. Please hear me. Correct understanding and application of laws and principles. Number two, results are a product of mastery. 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 Exceptional competence. You have mastered the laws that produce them so thorough that you do it unconsciously. That's the kind of attitude that produces results. Number three, results are a product of diligence. There are many times you keep knocking on the door of destiny until it opens. Sometimes you may knock for many years, but you continue. Diligence and persistence is what separates men from boys. Diligence. Number four, and I want you to leave this, take home this one tonight. Results are a product of the presence of the anointing. Ah! The anointing does not make the difference. The anointing is the difference. When results become supernatural and consistent, then there's no limit to the influence of the person producing it. When results become notable and consistent, listen, if you produce results for a short time, it will not create the effect. It needs to be consistent. That's why you find out that God can be using a particular man of God or a church. He can continue for many years. And then one is like he hits a breaking point in the spirit. In 1 year, he will step into a dimension of increase. Consistency. Consistency. I was watching a video of Steve Jobs, late Steve Jobs, Apple founder. 1991, he was talking to their team of executives. And if you hear that guy's idea, as at 91, everything he was saying they would do, they did. Men who produce results. Brothers and sisters, if you're part of this ministry, you must produce results. Not just receive results, produce results. In every area. Hallelujah. When our sister came up and said she got 5 points, I laughed. But I was impressed with her. But I'm not impressed enough until we find 20 people in a row. That's notable enough. That's the type we can clap with and smile. set your standard so high, even when they are clapping for you, you are still pressing to move higher. If you set your standard too low, you will hit it easily. That's what mediocrity is, setting low standards. I like her. She set 4 point something. When she hit it, she set another one. You must set a very high standard. There is such a high standard that I put in ministry. That's why I don't compete. Because the standard alone, I keep competing against that standard. It's enough to engage me. Hallelujah. I want to get to a point where I will be so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of the anointing of His Spirit. I'm telling you, you don't have to start praying for people. It doesn't matter what you are talking about. They will pay to get your presence in a place. Even if it's just to sit down, they know they will never be the same.
Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. Please fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over.
Listen, let me challenge you, everybody here. Create a system that measures your growth. Don't mark your script by yourself and score yourself A and organize speech and prize for yourself. You're a mediocre when you do that. Challenge your standard. Don't do small things and rejoice over it. Let me tell you something. The key to mediocrity is finding one person you are better than and settling down because of that. As a pastor, I'm better than this guy. As a grip, I'm better than this guy. Those kind of people will never be my friends. Those who come around and start telling you who they are better than, no. Because they are the type who will fight anybody that rises. I'm not a product of all those kinds of things. There is enough, the assignment, the demand of the assignment is enough. You compete against the standard God has given you. There is a benchmark. Those who are men of God today were ushers in the Bible. Welfare personnel. Look at the condition to be in welfare. Full of the Holy Ghost. Welfare. To serve food. You needed to serve food with the anointing. So we are constantly moving. Thank God for what God is doing through the school of ministry. But we are rising. Thank God for what God is doing through our messages and the media ministry. But we are rising. The result is too small. The result is not yet notable enough. I tell you, compared to where we are going, this is child's play. We've not started anything. The level of excellence is still at its foundation. Foundation. We have not even done anything. That's how you challenge yourself. Don't sit down with your small business and come back with 5,000 and you are laughing and say, Kai, it's better than nothing. Be happy for where you are, but never want to remain there. Oh, what do you do? I'm into interior decor. Are you? See, let me tell you something. Anything you are not competent in, just keep quiet about it. Talking about it will be disgracing yourself. There are so many people around. Ask them, what do you do? They say, I'm into interior decor. Really? Like who? Like what? How much can I pay you? Is there something you can do to me that will make me need you even if I don't like you? You have a restaurant. Can we eat in your restaurant? If we have a guest coming, can we take the guest to your restaurant and be comfortable? I have a church. Can I come to your church and sit down and be sure that God will bless me? Oh, I'm a driver. Like who? Where do you know? Challenge yourself. Don't mark yourself and say I'm good. There are many talented people inside and outside. Somebody wrote one song and came and sang it for me. I said, my brother, please go and work on it. God is helping you. Don't produce anything from this. Go and work on it. It's obvious I can show you at least 5 rules of music you broke on this. I told them, who is your role model? Who is your inspiration? They say, he mentioned expensive names as if it's just to talk. I said, how many of their videos do you have? Not their videos of the album they produce. Have you watched their stage rehearsals? Have you gone out of your way to find out how they rehearse. Listen, you don't learn from a man by watching his real life performance. You watch from a man by learning how he builds. You don't learn from Usain Bolt by seeing how he runs. No, you see how he rehearses. You don't learn from a man of God by just seeing how he displays the anointing. You learn the mystery of his secret place. Koinonia, I'm challenging you. God is taking us far. There are many of us here who would have entered certain levels of influence. Opportunities came and passed us by, is still passing us by, because we have not mastered that key that will give us influence. There are so many people in this place. You are in business. You are the only one who knows you are in business, because your products, you don't know nothing about business. You will not sit down and learn. You will not grow. Everybody will be, what are you doing? I'm into real estate. What are you doing? I'm a CEO. CEO of nothing. There's no result. Sit down and learn. Many young people moving around with suit and Bible and iPad. What are you? I'm a pastor. My name is Pastor David Revelation, or David King, or something. That's not what will give you open the doors of ministry. Let me tell you something. God knows, as a person, I am more than willing to invest into the life of anybody that is serious and ready to rise up. Believe me. Anything you are doing, if it's not of standard, you see, and you don't get standard by default, you learn from the best. Don't learn from your colleagues. Your colleagues are your colleagues because something made you the same way. You rise up, you learn something you do not know. Is the reason why your life is limited. Something you know but have refused to believe is making you stay. God has given me access, uncommon access to people, and sometimes I look at where I am and it's like a dream. I'm saying, Joshua Selman, what are you looking for in this place? Influence. Influence. Whenever you see a man of influence, don't be angry. It's not mistake. Results, brothers and sisters. I'm the firstborn in my family, but the way they are even treating me, I can't even talk. Result, result, result. Everybody say result. Produce result and you will switch the button. I'm 20 years, I'm 30 years. They are still treating me like a child. Result. Prove them wrong. Produce results. Don't make noise. I'm obsessed about studying successful people. I'm not ashamed. I have an appetite to confront my ignorance. I confront it with joy and gladness. I confront my ignorance with no sense of embarrassment at all. I like knowing what I don't know anything about. When I discover things in my life, I say, this is what I didn't know. I go for that knowledge. I want you to produce results. The little level God has brought this ministry, it's as a result of the results. The level of organization at the little level we are in, there is a formula to it. It's not just happening by mistake. That you come and as many as we are, there is still some level of organization. You don't guess, you learn. What you see today is what we knew yesterday. Tomorrow will reveal what we have known today. Please, I'm challenging you. We are going to pray. If you want to command influence, influence has monetary value. People will pay you and bless you in a way that will bring tears out of your eyes. And you will say, Lord, what is this? What are you doing to me? For if the cloud be full of rain, the Bible says they empty themselves upon the earth. Men of God, God is challenging us tonight. Stop being a mediocre. Surround yourself with 3 or 4 friends and say, among all of them, I'm the one who prays most. That's nonsense. Mediocrity. I'm the one who has revelation more. Mediocrity. Somebody writes jam and gets 120 and his friend gets 80 and he turns and says, Kai, but I gap you by how many points? Let's count. No, I'm not mocking. It's not a mockery. I'm using it as an example. Don't feel bad if you didn't make it for jam. In fact, I hear they are going to write it. We'll pray for them at the end of the service. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. I know that this teaching is touching some of you. There are people who are seated right now. You can pretend like what I'm saying is not serious. There are many people standing outside, right to the back. Some of them are just standing and thinking about their lives. I want to excel in my life. And I want my excellence to be intentional. Set a high standard, Koinonia. Set a high standard. Challenge yourself. When God gives you that influence, men will thank you for being influential. Your children will thank you. I was sharing with the School of Ministry students, some of the things I do today is no longer for myself. If it's for myself, I will stop doing some things because I've already created a system that will bless myself. I've started thinking transgenerational, both spiritual and physical, not just physical children. That anybody connected to me will be implicated for success just by being associated. And Lot went with Abraham. The secret place of Abraham implicated Lot until he was blessed. Who gets blessed following you? Or are you the type parents who warn their children about and say, don't follow this bad boy. He's going to spoil your life. Please, Koinonia, hear the voice of the Spirit tonight. It's time to settle down. Myself, settle down. And produce results. Stop guessing over your destiny. Prosperity is a reaction. It's not dash. Advancement in ministry is a reaction. We have never said we'll raise a second offering in this ministry. Say, oh, we cannot pay for bus or we cannot do this. No, it has never happened and it will never happen in the name of Jesus. But it's a formula. It's a formula. We don't have to manipulate you and squeeze your hand. It's a formula. Find out what the formula is. Don't just enjoy and say, Kai, this is a rich ministry. Find out what is the formula. What is the secret of the anointing of the Spirit upon our lives and the ministry? Find out. Do you care to find out? Are you humble enough to find out? I always look at the people that are close to me and I always watch out for their interest in finding out process or results. When I look at people who are close to me, I like to know what their passions are. If you are close to a man of God, there are pastors here, be careful, because proximity can destroy your ability to learn. You are always seeing the result. Some of you come for Koinonia and you can sit down here and in the next 5 minutes, people are flying all over and just say, Kai, apostle is anointed. Do you know it is for the taking? Peter said, help me. And Jesus said, I can show you. Let me teach you what I'm doing that is making me standing. He lifted him. There is something you can learn. There is the secret of the war. There is a mystery you can learn. You can stand upon it. It's not abracadabra. It's not the more you see, the less you understand. The prophetic has a formula. The apostolic ministry has a formula. Don't guess in pride. Learn. Those who learn are the ones who rise. Please rise up on your feet. We're going to pray. And I want everyone to please pray. Make sure you always don't miss the time of prayer here. Every time we share truths like this, we must take out time to pray. Lift your hands and give God praise for this word you have heard. It will change your life.
I will rise in your name, Adonai, you reign on high. I will rise in your name, Adonai, you reign on high.
One more time.
Lord, I will rise. Your name, Adonai, you reign on high.
I'd like you to lift your voice and shout it like your destiny depends on it. Say, in the name of Jesus, today I decree that I must produce results. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Results, oh God. Rekete koto shekete. Embrakata labakata. Shekete kereto kore babababa. Mandela kariada basha. Ekros kabariada ba. Era da bariada ba. Shekete barararara. Yeah. In your name. Results, results. I pay attention to produce results. I pay attention. Results at the end of every argument. Results, the product of mastery. Results, the product of diligence. Results, the product of consistency. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. From today, I pay attention to laws, principles, and mysteries. I pay attention to the laws I need to know to excel. Lift your voice and pray for grace. Grace, oh God. I'm tired of poverty and suffering. I need to hold on to the loss. I'm tired of defeat and failure. I'm tired of everybody hating me. Everybody fighting me. There is something I need to know. Lord, show me the laws I'm violating. Show me the laws I'm violating. Show me the laws I'm violating. Kaparatos kebaradaba. Enketele koto shana baba baba. Show me the laws I'm violating. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like you to mention every area of your life where you have not seen notable result, and say, every pride, every attitude stopping me from being humble to learn and produce results in that area, I take authority over you right now. Open your mouth and pray. Mention the area. Naaman was a captain of the Syrian army, but there was an area in his life. Please pray. Are you praying? Say, Lord, I humble myself. I humble myself. I humble myself. I humble myself to learn. I humble myself to master the art of war. Aparatoko seke de belerebos lekate praskata baladaba e praparado soto pregedeba. Hallelujah. One more prayer point. Before we have that prayer point, I want to make an altar call. Please, I want you to be serious tonight. We are not joking. Tonight is a very serious night. There are people here, inside and outside. From the beginning of my talk here, the word of God had come to you like a hammer. You know that you have mismanaged your life and you are seeking an opportunity to say, look, man of God, I've been looking for somebody to lead me to Christ. Tonight, right now, I'm going to make that altar call. Two kinds of people, please. There are many people outside. I know the Lord is showing me. There are people inside here. You are saying, man of God, I have managed my life by myself. And the truth is, I have mismanaged it. But God is giving me a new beginning. And I want to take advantage of it. You've never committed your heart to the Lord. Or you have done what you think you know to be Christianity. But with respect to what God is doing now, you know that you are not making any progress. Please, these two categories of people, I count 1 to 5. Oh, not 1 to 5. As we are praying, make your way to the front right now. Make your way to the front. While they come out, the remaining of us, please lift your voice and pray. And say, Father, use me, use me, use me. Do business with me, oh God. Lift your voice and pray. Please make sure you don't sit back. As the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, this is your moment of change. This is your moment of change. Don't let any friend or the family you came with make you sit back outside. No matter how far, make your way. Make your way to the front. Use me, oh God. He said, thou art my battle axe, my weapon of war. Thou art my battle axe, my weapon of war. Thou art my battle axe. Keep coming. God bless you. Hallelujah. Listen. Those of you standing here, I am very happy for you for this decision. Don't let anybody make you think you are wasting your time. There are some of us, you have destroyed your life with liquor, smoking, drinking, all kinds of things. Giving yourself to any and everybody, there is a new beginning. God wants to rehabilitate your life. You heard the story of this gentleman. There are still people like that. You know, I don't care whether you think you're a Christian or not. Alcohol, smoking, drinking, all kinds of things is destroying you. Please leave your seat and come and join them as I lead you to Jesus Christ. Leave your seat and come and join them. Even if everybody knows you in your area, it's time to make a change. It's time for a new beginning. Hallelujah. All of you here, some of you are giving your heart to Christ for the first time. Some of you are making up your mind to be serious with God. You are welcome. Please lift your hands and I want you to pray with me. Just one hand, your right hand. I want you to mean business. Please, if you know you are not going to be serious, go back to your seat. If you are here, be serious. You are not reciting a poem. Be very serious from the depth of your heart. No pinching, no laughing around. You are serious. We are with God here. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. This night, I surrender my life. I surrender my destiny to you. I'm tired of wasting my life. Take over my life. From this night, I receive eternal life into my spirit. And I declare that I will never be the same. The power of sin is broken over my life in the name of Jesus. Keep your hands lifted. Father, I break the power of sin over everyone lifting their hands here. Every habit and every demon and every power that is tying anyone's destiny down, I lose you tonight in the name of Jesus. Every addiction, everything that is not of God, it dies and leaves you forever this night. I'm praying for you. From tonight, you are stepping into a new dimension. It will be from glory to glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. I'd like you to follow a brother waving his hands. Please, we need your details because we need to follow you up. It's not enough for you to just give your life to Christ. We need to follow you up. So please, you have the details and they will guide you and give you more information. Celebrate them as they go. All of you this way. Follow the gentleman. Celebrate them, Koinonia. Celebrate them.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International, or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_ENI. You can download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.